Here in the late days of summer, as school is gearing up once again, there is a moment to really enjoy and revel in the sound of cello this week, with a concert coming up Thursday night at First Baptist Church. It's another cello explosion concert featuring octocelli, or nonocelli, coming up. And I'll be talking to two wonderful cellists this hour, cellist and composer Betsy Start, and cellist and arranger David Peschlikai. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So these concerts have been going on for a couple years?
I think this is our third.
Yeah,
I think so.
Cello Explosion concert. We don't. This is our big event that we do during the season, the regular season. It's difficult to get everyone together, but we managed to, I think, once or twice pull together something, usually from the previous octocelli concert, and give another performance. And no, I think this is our third concert at First Baptist Church.
I've been thinking about the instrument itself a little bit as I look back, and I talk to people about music pretty often when I tell them what I do, and I'm a radio person and present music. And more times than not, the people will say, oh, I always wanted to play the cello. It's the cello seems to strike this chord with most people's listening. And I think I'm personally jealous of its range.
Yes.
You can grab different clefs. Many go very deep and very high. And it is so flexible. And that is one of the things that this concert can showcase.
Yeah, with multiple parts, the different registers really sometimes almost sound like it's a different instrument. And also, I have heard, of course, from other cellists that the cello is the closest to the human voice.
Yeah, they say that.
Certainly expands or covers the same vocal range as well, you know, all the way from the bass, you know, all the way up into the soprano.
Right, but that's range. Male and female.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's good to have that kind of range, you know, to make arrangements and ensembles for, because, you don't have to all be tightly wound in the same kind of register. We can really expand out into different octaves.
I'm wondering, do some cellists, soloists, I guess, become known for a specific part of their range, like how good they sound in this particular octave?
I think they better have all the ranges, because most of the repertoire does.
Yeah.
Does cover it all. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
So can you generally describe the experience, the life experience, the professional experience of most of the members of octocelli? Like, who does this bring together?
A wide variety. Actually, we have my high school cello teacher is playing with us, so Mary Butler. And we have... I don't know. Of course, David and I are pretty active professionally as cellists. And then we have people who you might not see in the Kalamazoo Symphony, but are, you know, playing in other orchestras.
Mm. We have members from Battle Creek Symphony, Kalamazoo Symphony, Freelancers and Southwest orchestras, and Jackson now as well joining us. Students from Western are coming in as well with us, and just professionals. I think one's a music store owner.
Lori. Yeah. Lori owns Broughton Music, sorry if I shouldn't plug that.
Of course,
and she's and has a music store also on the eastern part of the state, and also runs some women's softball thing we keep hearing about is a conflict with rehearsals.
Oh, yeah. Knowing that the store owner is a performer, you know, really is a good thing.
Yeah.
So it is a wide range of people, you know, and wide ranges as well in the professional ranks of cello playing. So.
And many of you kind of holding down your corner of West Michigan with students and studios, and as well as solo orchestral, and then a little chamber music too. This would be considered a chamber concert?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yes, very much so. Yeah. It's one thing that cellists always seem to enjoy doing is getting together and playing with other cellists. I know a lot of the camps, Blue Lake and Interlaken, yeah, have ensembles that for adult players of cello, and yeah, they come in and play ensembles together.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just teaching at Blue Lake last week, Chamber Music for Fun, which is for adults, all ranges of playing, all ages. We have high school to, you know, seniors. And yeah, the warm-ups in the morning are at 8 a.m., 8:15, and virtually all the cellos show up because all we do is play cello ensemble stuff, and I conduct it, and, you know, and it's a lot of fun. It starts the day very happy.
You find you don't necessarily miss the sound of the violins and the violas and double basses?
No,
you got it covered.
No,
we've pretty much got it covered. Yep.
Well, this concert again is Thursday night. It starts at 8 p.m.
Yes,
at First Baptist Church, and as I think we kind of explained, it's bringing together a lot of professional talent from West Michigan and people who really enjoy getting together to play as a cello ensemble.
Yeah.
Who decided on the theme this year, and what is the theme?
I decided on the theme last year when we finished our concerts. You know, we're sitting there talking with people, and I had said that, you know, it would be nice to have a nod towards music of the stage and screen. And it kind of molded in the brain a little bit, and getting to talk with other people. And I think Anne took it upon herself, one of the cellists in the ensemble, and found some websites of classical music that is used in film. And so we ended up finding quite a few selections that were in our library already. I think the Dvorak was one, certainly William Tell, and the solo Bach that Betsy will be starting the program with. It was quite an extensive list that we had. And so it got the ball rolling, and then we found some other things for Broadway, for, you know, musicals, and just sort of, you know, played around with what would work, what would not work, and we came up with something that had the right kind of tempos, the right kind of range of expressions, and amazingly enough, the right number of performers to do an explosion concert as well, because that's the other tricky part is finding an arrangement for three instead of for five, because that's the slot that you need filled for that.
Yes, if you've never been to an explosion concert before, the number of players is plus one each number.
Yes, so yes, we start off with one player, and we keep adding until this year we'll have nine performers on stage. So a little bit more than an octocelli concert. But yeah, we will have nine performers on stage for our final two numbers.
Wow, and rehearsing.
Creating schedules for nine people, yes, who have such varied lifestyles as well, has been a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, it changes every day.
Exactly.
So. Well, technology isn't quite up there, but, you know, someday Skype rehearsals might work.
Yep.
I think it's the difficulty, I think, that because finding the repertoire is really not a problem. There are so many ensembles out there. I was absolutely amazed, you know, how many professional cello quartets there are. It blew my mind. You know, there are ensembles out there who like memorize their entire programs, and I was, you know, just blown away. But, you know,
I keep coming across a group, a duo, a pop ensemble named Two Cellos.
They're incredibly popular.
Yes.
Yeah, they played Elgin a while back, and I think a year or so ago. And yeah, you couldn't get tickets. I mean, it was absolutely sold out way in advance. And yeah, they do some pretty cool stuff, and they, you know, they have music videos, and, you know, it's like a little pop group, so there's all kinds of young angst in there too for people to associate with. So. Mm-hmm.
And there was also actually even a Michigan-based group called Break from Reality.
Oh, I didn't know they were Michigan-based.
Three cellos and percussion.
Oh, my.
And a professional ensemble, going out there.
I just got an email about some quartet from Europe that is touring America again. So, because I get all these things as an arts administrator, opportunities for booking people. So, yeah.
Well, even though there are a lot of cello ensembles and new cello arrangements and repertoire being created, it sounds like, David, you decided to do at least one piece on... by yourself.
Yeah, so we ended up Somewhere Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. Anne really wanted to have that done. I think that was Anne's instigation.
Anne
Sherfield.
Yeah.
And so she got the hold of the piano score, and I just took it upon myself. It's like, oh yeah, sure. You know, I looked at the score. I'm like, yeah, this should be easy enough to arrange for three cellos. And it was, you know, one of those things you put off and you put off, and you're like, oh, maybe I should do it this way. You know, I don't quite have Betsy's expertise and skill and dedication in this area. So it was a little bit more like, I hope this is right and this will work. And the first rehearsal, I definitely, you know, said, let's, you know.
Work in progress.
Work in progress. We can change this however we want. And, you know, there were, you know, for the most part, it worked out. You know, there were, you know, some notes that were, got tweaked a little bit. I think I ended up putting an accidental in a wrong place. But for the most part, it worked out fairly well. And we'll have that on the program. It's our number three slot.
Did you find that having to look so closely at this piece gave you new appreciation for a melody that, boy, we've all been able to sing for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely.
But
yeah.
But like harmonizations and things like that, was that kind of fresh when you had to look at it measure by measure?
Well, fortunately, I had the piano part already there, so a lot of it was already fleshed out. It was just a matter of pulling it apart and deciding who gets what and is enough of the chord and melody and accompaniment being covered with just three people as opposed to 10 fingers on a piano. And then also, you know, knowing what the cello can do idiomatically that the piano can't do. So that was kind of fun. So, you know, there's some tremolos that, you know, pianist would have a little bit more difficult time doing.
Yeah, luck, pianists.
Yeah, Ponticello, if you could do Ponticello.
There are some different effects, you know, to sort of help the music along. And yeah, I think it's a fun arrangement. The other players seem to enjoy it. So hopefully the audience will as well.
Okay. And I'm being silent on this because I actually don't play on that. So I haven't heard it. Yeah. So I will hear it Thursday night. Yes.
Music inspired by stage and screen is the next cello explosion concert by Octocelli. And it starts at 8:00 on Thursday night. And David, I have a four cello arrangement found. It's the quartet of Berlin Philharmonic cellists. Let's hear their arrangement. We heard the four cellists of the Berlin Philharmonic, or four of the section members of the Berlin Phil, in a fairly straightforward arrangement of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And it was all cellos again. We could hear the full frequency range from the high melodies to the deep, deep underlying pedal tones. Really nice.
Yep.
You're going to create that in church on First Baptist Church on Thursday.
That will be the third piece on our program, exactly. And then from that we move on to I think one four cello and then 2 5.
Yeah, there's definitely the four cello where I get to play I Don't Know How to Love Him, which has been a lifelong dream. And then the 5 cellos, definitely the Bach, Brandenburg.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is on the program, and then as well Brandenburg 6 from an obscure film. I think Mistress is the name of the film. I've never seen it, don't know anything about it, but again, it was on this list on the internet, so of course it must be true.
That's a great piece.
And we've been sort of toying with this piece for quite a long while. It's been in our library almost from the very beginning. But it is a tricky number. I mean, it's a concerto. It moves around a lot of counterpoint because of course it's Bach, and but it's one of my favorite pieces. I've just been loving this piece ever since I've heard it decades ago.
There is something special about the 6th Brandenburg Concerto, right? Because he didn't include anything but strings.
Right. In fact, actually not even violins. Yeah. It's for 2 violas, 2 gambas, and continuo.
Yeah.
It's actually for 6 players, but the continuo kind of plays one part, so it can actually be played by 5, with 5 lines. And so that's what we have in our arrangement is a 5 cello version of Brandenburg, the first movement of Brandenburg 6. I'm a big sucker for canons, and this one is a 21 bar canon. It's just amazing.
Yeah, repeats after 21 bars, you mean?
It's a pure canon for 21 bars, so it goes through cadences and still is a pure canon. It's just a fascinating work.
You're playing it and admiring it at the same time.
I totally am. I have to remind myself, I have to connect with this person here and make sure that we're lining up, with cues and whatnot. So,
as performers with a lot of classical experience, have you ever been watching a movie and suddenly the soundtrack switches to something borrowed from the classical world? It takes you out of the film as you try to identify what piece that is?
Oh yeah, you're definitely going to want to identify it. Whether it pulls you that far out or not, I don't know. It depends on how obscure it is, because and for me it's always sort of an appreciation and also an endorsement that this is pretty great music. And as a matter of fact, I recall years ago doing a Pops concert with someone who had conducted a lot of film music, and I'm going to forget his name, but he actually said that often when a film composer is recruited by a producer, they will already have picked out classical music or some sort of music. Can you write something similar to this?
Mm-hmm.
And
this is the feel I want.
And 2001 is sort of the example of the film where the person didn't write anything that matched up to the original selection, so they just went with the original selections. But so much film music is at least based on classical music, if not actually
borrowed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Stanley Kubrick had great taste in classical music. I was watching a ship go down at sea on film. It was really a horrible, horrible storm, and they had to cut away a man who'd gone overboard and was holding onto the mast, and they had to cut the ropes to stop themselves from going down too. And all of a sudden, I heard this familiar music, and I'm like, "Huh, what's that? What's going on?" It was the theme
Master and Commander.
Yeah, yes. Theme from Thomas
Tallis.
I'm like, wait, who is that? Who is that?
Ray Vaughan Williams.
And then the boy had drowned, and I hadn't really. Hadn't really fully incorporated with this.
But yeah, very powerful music for a very powerful scene.
Yeah.
Exactly, right. And we've got some as well, other examples like that later in the concert. Barbara Adagio, which is juxtaposed with, who is Apocalypse Now?
And I was in platoon.
Platoon, that's right. I keep getting it mixed up.
And I actually have a different reaction where now Barbara Adagio, luckily I didn't actually watch much of Platoon, but you know, the Barbara Adagio now has this association, which it didn't, I mean, it's a very profound piece, but it has this other association now for me, right, which is a little hard sometimes.
Right. Yeah. For me, I mean, the other film that I remember hearing the Barber piece was in the final scene of Elephant Man, which is, again, a very emotional scene, but very different. It was, a intimate scene, yeah, and the main character was dying. So it had a very different effect, I think, rather than with one of... I didn't see Platoon, but I'm assuming it's filled with explosions and
slow motion graphic battlefield stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So, so that will be on our concert as well. But the Brandenburg is just a fun piece of music. You know, we've been, looking for an excuse to program it. And so I was thrilled when we saw it on the internet list of, it was used in a film. So we're like, great, let's do that one.
Well, the Yale Cello Ensemble has made an arrangement and recorded their version of the opening movement of the Brandenburg Concerto No. 6. So let's take a break. But first, remind people that this concert begins at 8 o'clock Thursday at First Baptist Church. Is this a ticketed event?
It is a free event, but we will welcome donations to help us buy more music and do things that cellos do to attract them to come together.
Okay, good. We're listening to multiple cello music with cellists David Peschlakai and Elizabeth Start, two players and organizers of this Thursday's Cello Explosion Concert featuring octocelli, which is an umbrella term for a bunch of very talented people coming together to play cello repertoire. It starts at 8 o'clock at First Baptist Church. And as Betsy mentioned, it is open to all and free of charge with a free will offering, gratefully accepted. That'll keep these concerts coming. This will be the third in 3 years. So, and nicely timed for that quick break right before we all sort of head into the seriousness of fall, the fall season.
It kind of works that way with everyone's schedule as well.
Yeah.
All the cellists are finally finished with, their vacations and festivals. But at the same time, a lot of the schools, colleges, and symphony hasn't quite started up yet. So it's that one little niche time that most schedules seem to line up for us to be able to rehearse.
Yeah, it's such a great time that I managed to squeeze two concerts into this week. And I actually wanted to point out that David definitely is one of the organizers. I have been in the past, but I was not so involved. And Scherfeld was one of the other ones really working on the repertoire, trying to set up rehearsals, which are very fluid scheduling-wise.
Like herding cats.
Yeah, it is herding cats. So.
Well, we were talking earlier about how interesting music in films can be. Sometimes there's classical pieces that are used to underscore scenes and how they tend to merge as we see films, and then as you perform them, the pieces, you'll get an association with these scenes. The Brandenburgs, not really. They stand on their own pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. The film that it was used for is, I would be surprised if anyone knows of this film. And it's certainly performed more out of, you know, in its own context rather than through the film source. So, there's definitely some pieces on the program that are more strongly associated as standalone pieces. The first piece is certainly one, I think, as well.
Which is also Bach.
The New World Symphony is probably one that stands on its own. Mm-hmm. I think it was used for Clear and Present Danger. Mm-hmm. A good film, but nonetheless, one that hasn't completely usurped Dvorak.
No, that would be hard at this point.
That's right. Yeah, and I see so few films that I don't associate music with films very much at all.
Yeah. Well, that's true of a lot of musicians who miss a lot of going out at night, right, yeah. Friday nights.
Yeah, for some reason, we're kind of busy on weekends.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, the next thing I have queued up is a true phenomenon in the world of television. It's HBO's Game of Thrones, which I think is in its seventh season and has only been gaining. That people are having parties every Sunday to watch it.
Right.
Never seen it. I had never heard the tune until yesterday when we were rehearsing it.
What do you think the show is about, Betsy?
I heard there was a lot of pornography. That's all I heard. But so that's all I know.
Well, okay.
And then I get the images of thrones, and I just really don't know what to do with that. So.
Well, you, David, you watch the show?
I think there's two or three of us in the ensemble that have, you know, seen it or are avid watchers of it. I've only gotten to season four myself, so I'm not quite up to date. But this one was Anne Sherfield. She really loves the show, and it turns out the theme music is right in the cello register, mm-hmm. And written for strings as well. Lori Jarski, one of the new cellists on the ensemble, acquired a drum for us, and that's the other main instrument in the opening theme. So we have four or five cellos and then one of the cellos will switch to drum for that piece. We'll have the theme themes to Game of Thrones.
Well, for all of you out there who are addicted to the show, you can close your eyes and hear and visualize the opening credits while we hear the main theme, which of course is played by a solo cellist in both the version you'll hear on Thursday as well as the original broadcast version. My guests here today, if you've just tuned in, are David Peschlakai and Betsy Start, both prominent Michigan cellists, and they and their friends will present music for single cello, solo cello, all the way through nine on right. Thursday night. And Betsy, you get the whole thing started, I just realized, with a little bit of Bach from one of the suites.
Yeah, the Prelude of the Third Suite, which... Yeah, David asked me if I wanted to do it many months ago and seemed like a good idea at the time. So, but then, of course, you know, with Bach, there are so many different ways to do it and every cellist has different ideas. And so nothing like playing my ideas for a bunch of cellists. We'll see. She's doing what?
Yeah. It's not the people in the audience you're thinking about.
That's right.
It's the cellists backstage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the things you dread seeing on an audition list because it's like no matter what happens, you know, now how well you perform it, someone on the committee is going to be like, well, that's not how I do it.
Right.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. And there is the long chordal passage that, there's multiple discussions of how one bows it and what you do with it musically, because it's really just changing chords over a drone.
And it's hard. Too.
And it's hard. And
it's,
it's
a big challenge.
There's that part, yeah.
Well, what really should happen in these auditions is you get to play it three times in three different ways.
That's right. Yep.
That would be ideal.
So the concert begins with music from the Bach Suite number 3. We go to two cellos and hear some James Bond
James
music.
Bond, yeah.
Right.
Cello and piano.
But it's a cellist playing the piano.
I'll be playing the piano.
Okay.
And then we move to the Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
The trio version.
And then moved into fours and fives. And I forget.
There's this song from the very first rock opera, I think it was, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, that's a quartet. And I get to play the melody in that. I get to be Mary. And I have wanted to sing that song since I was 11. Mm-hmm. So I get to, I promise I won't sing. I'll be thinking the words, though. I'll be mouthing the words.
Yeah. Those of us of a certain vintage just like know every single passage and word in that record. Then we hear the Brandenburg Concerto number 6 movement, then theme from the Game of Thrones. So that's where we are now. What happens after Game of Thrones?
We're forgetting what the 6 is, but unless that's the Dvorak.
Well,
and then we have Dvorak and we have William Tell.
Actually, since I seem to be the one.
Right.
You're the one with the crib sheet over
there. I have
the
answers. Summertime.
Yes, Summertime.
And Sylvia Sitterin has
Sylvia
the lovely
Sitterin
solo on that.
Have the lovely solo on that one. So from Porgy and Bess. Now we're into opera.
Right.
So again, so that was the stage and screen part, was making sure that we had, something from Broadway, something from, opera or something like that. So programming was the tricky thing of making sure that everyone was represented, and then as well making sure that the arrangements we had worked, and then that the flow of that arrangements, so it's not all the fast pieces are at the beginning and all the slow pieces are at the end, or everything's in a minor key, in the middle, it's a good pacing. So the next piece, after we finish with a very exciting Game of Thrones, we get to go into the sultry melodies of Summertime from Porgy and Bess.
Now, you mentioned Sylvia Sitterin.
Sylvia Sitterin, she's a principal cellist with Battle Creek Symphony, a music educator as well, I believe, in Battle Creek, and teaches at Crescendo as well. So, again, our ensemble is filled with people who are, do a lot of things and a lot of different levels of with cello in their lives.
You've recently changed career paths a little bit.
Yes, I have.
We will miss your presence on the stage with the KSO.
Yes, I was with Kalamazoo Symphony for 13 years as their principal cellist, and it was a wonderful time. But the workload that I had with Hillsdale College, which was, I've been teaching at the college for over 25 years now. And with me living in Grand Rapids, it got to be a bit too much. So I've also recently moved to Hillsdale because now I have a studio of about 19 kids. So it's a pretty hard load. It just got a bit too much to handle schedule-wise and other things as well. So I've decided to move on.
But there's groups on the east side of the state that have reached out.
I've been fortunate enough, before my time with Kalamazoo, I was a freelance cellist, as, many are. And Michigan is a great state for orchestras. They love their orchestral music. So I played with a lot of orchestras, played actually with several of them as their principal, either as an actual auditioned or sometimes as a, coming in at the last minute and filling in for a position. And it's been a while since I've seen them, all these colleagues, but I called up the personnel managers or, someone up and said, I'm back on the market, and just want to let you know I'm available. And everyone that I called offered me work. So it was a nice feeling, and it was also very enjoyable to work with my colleagues that I hadn't seen in decades, literally, and get to play and make music with them. Most of the time as well, without the added stress of being a principal. So that was kind of nice and different.
Yeah, and I think listeners might not be aware that the position that David was in with the KSO involved a lot of, you know, wonderful educational programming, but the number of services that needed to be, you know, held for use by the symphony and those things made it, you know, pretty difficult to do other works. So the ability to now reach out to these other orchestras must be really, really wonderful.
Yeah, and to know that you built a legacy in music is sometimes difficult to measure because it's sound. But it clearly...
No, I am confident. I mean, I did work a little bit of, you know, tweaking my section and got them to be very responsive. And, you know, they were pretty much playing like a section. I had one of I was blessed with one of the most stable string sections that one could ask for, really. But you know, after a while, it was like, okay, well, let's try this, let's try that, and now I'm you know, I'm really proud to say that the dynamics of the cello section is probably amongst the strongest that I've seen, you know, and heard in a long time, and they own it. Now they're, you know, they're very good at it. They do it unconsciously, and it's a great thing to see. So I'm, you know, I'm thrilled that, you know, whatever little step I had in, you know, making, you know, the KSO sound, you know, that much better or enjoyable, I know will be there for many years to come.
There will be some shoes to fill because you also played with the KSO's resident string quartet.
The Burdick Thorne string quartet, And three lovely ladies that I will definitely miss working with and playing just fantastic repertoire.
Yeah, I got that sense when I would see you all together.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's chamber music and, you know, it holds a special part in most musicians. Yeah, in the heart of most musicians.
But no violinist or violist, you know, really invited.
No, in fact, a lot of the pieces I'll be playing the part of violin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, me too.
Again, this is Thursday at 8 o'clock at First Baptist Church, and I'm enjoying some time here with cellist David Peschlakai and Betsy Start. And we should move on maybe to, I have something in a more upbeat style from The Lone Ranger.
Okay. One of the places where I definitely played the first violin part.
And I'm second violin, so right up there with you. Except for that one passage you get all to yourself.
Now, the piece I cued, it says 3.5 minutes, and I don't know if that means it's the slow opening.
Maybe it's going to be the William Tell part.
Let's hope it's the finale.
What we're doing.
So, okay. Yes.
If I'm wrong.
Here we have William Tell. Thank you.
That's music from The Lone Ranger, originally from the opera, William Tell. Yeah. And how many cellos on that piece?
There are seven.
Seven.
So yep. We're
up
toward
to
the end of the concert here. So there's just a couple pieces in between, Dvorak and Barber, and then the finale is another piece from a more recent film. And maybe you could tell us about how many cellists you found on YouTube playing this music.
We found a version with a cello orchestra, which is also a fun thing that cellists love to get together and do. It's basically what we're doing with Octocelli, but instead of one person on a part, we would, for an orchestral experience, you'd probably have, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think for this arrangement, there are probably about 20 on each part, because it's a performance of 120 cellists performing selections from Pirates of the Caribbean. And hopefully, if we get the cue up right, it will be the selection that we will be doing, He's a Pirate, from the Caribbean, from Pirates of the Caribbean. So.
Well, since we're near the end of the hour, I'd just like to thank both of you for coming in and previewing this concert, which takes place Thursday at 8.
Thank you.
Any final words, Betsy?
No, we're at First Baptist Church. It's a wonderful place to play, and it's a great place to see a concert.
If you like cello or you know someone who likes cello, if you're one of those people on the street, it's like, oh, I wish I could have played
cello.
And
even if you're not sure if you like cello, you will come hear us.